Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you're joining us for the first time or you've been listening every day for 10 years, we just want to say welcome, we love you, and we pray for you every day. So we're continuing with this series called Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles. And in this series, you're learning how to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you courage to impact the world around you. And if you're like me, you'd really like to be more bold and have more courage to share your faith in Christ. And now here's Rick with part one of a message called Daring to Imagine.
I want us to continue with part four of Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles. One of the greatest gifts that God has given you is the gift of imagination. It is the ability to see things in your mind, to think and to create with mental pictures in your mind. God gave you this gift of imagination, and the reason you have this gift is because God imagines. The Bible tells us that God imagined the entire universe, and it was created. He thought it up before it became reality. The Bible says God has imagined all of history. He's already seen it all happen, even before it's happened, because he thought it up. He imagined it in advance. The Bible calls that God's foreknowledge. And you are most like your creator when you are being creative. Does that make sense? You are most like your creator, God, when you are being creative. And God gave you the ability to create with your imagination. And when you use your imagination for good and for God, God smiles. Now, everything starts with imagination. Nothing becomes reality unless first somebody thinks it up. This building did not become a reality until somebody had to think it up in their mind first. Every great business, every great company, every piece of art, every musical note, somebody imagined it before it became reality. Nothing happens unless somebody imagines it. And without imagination, you couldn't even make decisions. You see, when you start to make a decision, you imagine what would happen if I did this and what would happen if I do that. And then you make the decision. Everything that has been created on planet Earth by human beings started in the imagination of somebody's mind. And this is a gift from God. Now, imagination is a tool. And it can be used for good, or it can be used for bad. And like any other gift of God, whether it's fire or water or sex or anything else, anything that God gives as a gift can be misused, abused, and perverted. And today, many people are misusing their imagination for wrong ways, to be clever in their evil. And so the Bible actually gives us three categories. There on your outline, there are some things the Bible says we should not imagine. And then there are some things that we cannot imagine because our brains aren't big enough. And then there are some things that we should imagine. Let me just talk about these for a second, just to open up the subject. There are some things the Bible says that as human beings, we should not imagine, we should not allow in our mind. And the Bible calls these evil imaginations or vain imaginations or empty imaginations. Worry. Worry is a misuse of your imagination. Because you imagine something in your mind and you start getting fearful about it and you go over and over and over and over and over. You're using your imagination every time you worry, but you're misusing it. It is a perversion. God didn't give you your imagination to be able to picture something and get stressed out about it. Lust is a misuse of imagination, when you think of a lust in your mind over and over and over. Revenge is a misuse of imagination, when you think, oh, I know how I'm going to get back at that person. You start planning and plotting in your mind, using your imagination, how you're going to get back. And they said that to you, and I'm going to say this back. That's a misuse of your imagination. The Bible tells us that the reason God flooded the earth and told Noah to build an ark is because it said in those days, all he could find was, quote, evil imaginations in people's lives. And they had taken a gift of God and they were using their imaginations for violence, using their imaginations for perversion, using their imaginations for the occult, for evil, for bad things, for dark things. And today, many people use their imaginations in very, very dark ways. You should not fill your mind with those things. So there's some things we should not imagine. But then the Bible says, the second category, there's some things that we cannot imagine. The Bible says that God is so great, We can't even imagine how great he is, how powerful he is. We look at the universe and see how great the universe is, and the universe just shows a fraction of God's greatness. The creator is certainly bigger than the creation. So we can't imagine the universe. We can't even imagine the God who created the universe. The Bible says you cannot imagine, very clearly, it says it multiple times in the Bible, you can't imagine how much God loves you. God loves you so much, your brain would explode if you understood how much he loves you. It is, God is love, it's his nature. And so you cannot understand that. The Bible says you can't imagine what heaven is gonna be like. And that's why a lot of people aren't really interested in heaven, because it's so foreign to us, we can't imagine those dimensions. We're limited to time and space and distance, three dimensions here in our world. But heaven has many more dimensions than three dimensions to it. And so we can't imagine how cool, how great, how wonderful it's going to be like. 1 John 3:2 says, yes, dear friends, we're already God's children, and we can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns. But we do know this. We do know that when he comes, we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And what that verse says is that right now you can't see Jesus directly, so you're growing to be more like him a little bit at a time. But when one day when Christ comes back, he says, when we see him perfectly, you're going to become perfectly like him. You're going to be transformed in that instant. And the Bible says we can't even imagine what we're going to be like when Jesus comes back. You are going to be so cool, so different, and your body will be different. And the Bible says we can't even imagine that. It's hard for us to conceive. But then there are some things we should imagine. Philippians 4:8. Fix your thoughts. That means concentrate. It means focus. It means consider. It means meditate. It means imagine. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. This is what God wants you to be imagining in your mind. Lovely scenes, beautiful scenes, admirable things, things that are right, things that are good. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. These are the kind of things God wants you to imagine. Now, what I want to do this weekend, as we do this part four in Daring Faith, is I want to show you the relationship between your imagination and faith. And I want to help you unlock your imagination in a way that's never been done before. And in order to do that, I'm not going to do a typical message where I take a text and do an exposition or an explanation of that text. Instead, I want to take texts from all over the Bible, and I want to give you a personal testimony of 8 things that I've learned about imagination and the importance of it in your life after walking with God for 50 years. All right, get out your pencils and let's look at what I've learned about God-inspired imagination. This really could make a major difference in your life if you'll let God expand the way you think about your family, your career, your life, God, and everything else. Number one, the first thing, my imagination shapes my life. My imagination shapes my life. In other words, the way you think is going to affect the way you feel, and the way you feel is going to affect the way you act. And if you want to change the way you act, you need to change the way you think. Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It is God's way of saying, I want you to understand that how I work in your life is through your thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. For instance, the person who says, I can't do this, and the person who says, I can't do this, are both right. They're both right. Because if you think you can't, you can't. And if you think you can, you can. The person who says, I just can't imagine that ever happening to me. Well, guess what? It won't. It won't. Because you're already doing a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, the Bible says this in Proverbs 4:23. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by what? Your thoughts. Circle that. Your thoughts. Now, because I've always been interested in this, in the power of imagination, particularly as it relates to faith, I've collected quotes of famous people over the years about imagination, and I thought I would just share some of them with you. Here's the first one from Albert Einstein. Look up here on the screen. Einstein says, imagination is more important than knowledge. Logic will get you from A to B. Imagination will take you everywhere. See, there's no limit to your imagination. The true sign of intelligence is not knowledge, but imagination, Albert Einstein. That's interesting. Very interesting. Okay, here's one. George Bernard Shaw, the famous playwright and poet. Imagination is the beginning of creation. You imagine what you desire, you will what you imagine, and then you create what you will. In other words, Michelangelo, when he painted the Sistine Chapel, those beautiful frescoes, he had to imagine it all in his mind. He had to see it in his mind before he could put it on the wall. C.S. Lewis, the greatest Christian thinker of the last century, said, imagination is the organ of meaning. Napoleon Bonaparte, imagination rules the world. The philosopher Pascal said, imagination decides everything. William Arthur Ward said, if you can imagine it, you can achieve it. And if you can dream it, you can become it. And then that great theologian, George Lucas, you can't do it unless you imagine it. Imagine him imagining all of the Star Wars trilogies. That took quite a lot of imagination. Okay, that's George Lucas, okay? And then here are a couple other great leaders. Walt Disney said, Disneyland will never be completed. It will continue to grow as long as there's imagination left in the world. And then this quote, Saddleback will never stop growing. As long as there's one person who's not heard the good news of Jesus, we will keep reaching out. That's from the first sermon in 1980. Imagination. Now, God warned about the power of imagination being misused. And he tells the people in Babel, where they were building this giant tower of Babel, which was going to be basically an idol. They were going to build it to reach up to God. And here's what God says in Genesis 11 about imagination. The Lord said, now that they are one people speaking one language, this is only the beginning of what they will do. Now, nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Notice, this is God talking. God always speaks the truth. He says, because they're one people with one language, and they're unified, they've got clear communication, he said, nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Now, this is actually a warning, but there's also a teaching here. If you are a businessman, I want you to listen closely. How do you get a group of people to do the impossible? How do you make the impossible possible? Maybe you've got a project in your business that you go, man, there's no way this is going to happen. How do you get people to do the impossible? Well, he says there are three things. You need cooperation, you need communication, and you need imagination. He said you got to have cooperation. They've got to be unified, one people. You've got to have clear communication. They're speaking one language. And you've got to have imagination. And if you've got those three, that's how the impossible becomes possible. That's a little leadership tip I just thought I'd throw in there. Now, number two, second thing I've learned about imagination. Imagining is essential to living by faith. Imagination is essential to living by faith. In fact, you cannot live by faith without using your imagination. Because since you can't see God, you've got to use imagination to practice your faith. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is the great chapter of heroes of the faith. In Hebrews 11, we have God's Hall of Fame. You know, there's a rock and roll Hall of Fame, there's a baseball Hall of Fame. Well, God has a Hall of Fame, and it's called Hebrews chapter 11. And in the Bible, he lists all the people who are the real heroes in God's book. Abraham, Moses, and Joseph, and Gideon, and all these people. And he starts off Hebrews 11 talking about faith by saying this in verse 1, defining faith. Let's read it aloud together. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. Now, notice two things. Faith is a way of seeing. And he says here that God says whatever you hope for, when you believe it's going to happen, not that it might happen, that's hope. When you believe it will happen, that's faith. And he said it's the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave you two ways of seeing, gave every human being two ways of seeing. First, you can see through your physical eyes. That's one way of seeing. And second, you can see by the imagination in your mind. And you can picture things in your mind. And you can, you of course, you dream them, but you can visualize them. And that's another way of seeing. And when you can't see something physically, you have to imagine it in your mind. Now, it says here that faith is when we hope for something and we know it's going to happen. In order to hope for something, you have to picture it in your mind. Do you remember when you were a kid and at Christmas time, there are gifts wrapped under the Christmas tree? And you saw the ones with your name on it, and you started imagining what was inside that box. And you got excited because you thought you knew what was inside that box because you were picturing it in your mind. You could not see it, but you are imagining that gift. You are imagining that toy. And this is a tool that God says you have to use in walking on with Christ because you can't see God. So when you can't see God right now, you have to imagine. God has given us tools of imagination. Communion, the Lord's Supper, baptism. Both of those symbols engage your imagination. They help us visualize. They help us picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, going under the water, coming back out, is a picture of Jesus dying and being buried and rising again. And communion is a picture of Jesus giving his body and blood for your salvation. They are tools that engage your imagination. Now, when you read the rest of Hebrews 11 about all those heroes of faith, you realize that every one of them became heroes of faith because they used their imagination. For instance, God says to Abraham, you're 90 years old and you have no kids, but I'm going to change your name to Abram, from Abram to Abraham, which means father of a great nation. Now, for about a decade, Abraham still has no kids. And so he goes to a local restaurant. He said, party for two, you know, table for two. What's your name? Father of a great nation. Oh, wow, that's neat. How many kids you got? None. It'd be pretty embarrassing to be named father of a great nation and you don't have any kids. But God always calls things that are not as though they were. He names it in advance. And then he says, I want you to go outside, Abraham. And he said, I want you to count the stars at night. And he said, that's how many grandchildren and great-grandchildren, great-great-grand. How many are you going to have in your family tree? That's going to be the nation of Israel. That's going to be how many Jews there are in the world. Count all the stars. What is God doing when he tells Abraham to go count the stars? He is activating his imagination. He's saying, I want you to visualize what I'm going to do in your life. Look at the next verse, 2 Corinthians 4:18. We set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. Now, what does that verse mean? It means that the material is temporary and the immaterial is eternal. For instance, everybody can see this chair right now. It's a wooden chair, it's material, but it's not gonna last. It won't last 500 years. This chair will decay and fall apart. It's not gonna last. It's material, and anything material isn't gonna last. On the other hand, you can't see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but they're going to last for eternity. You can't see your own soul. It's going to last for eternity. And the Bible says you need to focus on the things that are going to last, which you actually can't see with your eyes. You have to imagine them.
I don't know about you, but I am encouraged after that message. And let's keep the encouragement going with a letter from one of our listeners. Here's Rick.
I started this Daily Hope ministry because I want to help you fulfill the Great Commission and the Great Commandment of Jesus Christ. To love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself, to make disciples, to teach them to grow, and to baptize them and bring them into the family of God. And all of these things happen when you do what God tells you to do. You are part of the effort. We are a team here at Daily Hope. Let me read you a letter from Jeff, who listens to Daily Hope in Alabama. And he's using all of the resources that we produce, in addition to these broadcasts, to help disciple other people in the Word. He wrote, Dear Pastor Rick, our adult classes at Green Valley Baptist Church here in Hoover, Alabama, just finished your 6-week study kit for the series Daring Faith.
I just wanted to drop you a line, tell you how much we enjoyed that study and the video. Many of our class members have been going through a lot of personal tragedies, problems, and difficulties lately, and your video spoke so strongly to how we need to depend on God in our faith to help us get through both the good and bad times of life. Well, thanks, Jeff, for writing in first place. Second, I'm so excited to hear that you're using these resources in addition to the broadcast that we're preparing for groups and individuals and even churches. And my prayer is that as we put together these resources, like the Daring Faith Kit, that they will be used by thousands of small groups around the world to help people grow in faith and in knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you who are listening today, there are a lot of different resources that Daily Hope produces: Bible studies, kits, manuals, scripture memory cards, all kinds of things that you need to be aware of. So go to my website today, PastorRick.com. If you've never been there, take a minute and go to PastorRick.com and see all of the resources that we've prepared to help you grow in your faith and share your faith with others. We did it for you. God bless you.
Please join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.